The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Klipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Klipp.
Hi, this is Steve Klipp. Welcome back to my show. Today's show is being pre-recorded because I'm out playing the proud father. My son, Stephen, is graduating today from Harvard with an advanced master's in architecture. And it's just incredible. The kid has definitely surpassed his father. He already graduated from Cornell with a professional degree in architecture. And now he's going even further. On the other side of that, though, architecture is an old man's profession. You really get out of school and you know almost nothing. Takes about 20 years to really know what you're doing and to really start performing in this profession. A lot of the best architects do their best work in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s. And such as Frank Lloyd Wright did some great things in his 80s, and so did Philip Johnson. Anyway, since my mind is on it, let me give you a brief history of what it takes to become an architect. You can either get a Bachelor of Architecture, which is a 5-year undergraduate degree, or you can get a Master of Architecture. And architecture is definitely the most time-consuming major that you can do in college. Just simply all of the drawing, or model making, or computer work. It takes a tremendous amount of time. And compared to any other major, no major takes nearly as much time as it. So the 5-year degree, 5-year undergraduate degree, is a first professional degree. And you get that, and then you are required to do 3 years of supervised internship, working for an architect. And at the end of that time, you qualify to take the exam. The exam is 4 days long and very hard. In the year that I took it, 22% passed the exam. And by comparison with the bar exam to become a lawyer, for instance, Duke University, if they don't have 95% of their graduates pass the bar the first time out, they get very upset. In architecture, 22% pass in any given year. And a lot of architects take 5 or 6 years to pass the exam. What that means is that it is really hard to become an architect. And the people who do it, they've had to work really hard. They have to know a lot. It means something. Okay, told you that the first one is the Bachelor of Architecture. You can also get a four-year Bachelor of Design in Architecture. This is an undergraduate, non-professional degree. And a lot of people do that. They work for a while, a few years, then go back for the Master of Architecture. The Master of Architecture takes two and a half years to get. And it's, compared to the Bachelor of Architecture, it's more theoretical. You get more into design and less into the practical. Well, you cover all the practical aspects of working in an architecture firm. You just get more design on top of it. The reality is, though, that architecture is often a second, the field chosen second. And in my Master of Architecture program, I had come right out of undergraduate, worked a year, went into graduate school. Most of the people in there had worked for a decade. And quite a few had started off in something else, held undergraduate degrees in something else. If you do that, the Master of Architecture takes 3.5 to 4 years to get, about the same as law school or medical school. And one of the, probably the best architect in Boston right now is a guy who, he first got his degree in medicine, then he went back to school, got his degree in law, then he went back to school and got his degree in architecture. And finally, and I guess in his about 40, is when he, you know, figured out what he wanted to do. But the thing is then that most of the people in Master of Architecture programs are in their mid-30s when they're doing the work. And, well, I mentioned Philip Johnson, who is a very famous architect. He was actually the director of MoMA, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, before he went back for his architecture degree. And he ended up building, doing the AT&T building in New York and his glass house in the middle of a field that's very famous and I think hard to live in. So what my son received was an advanced math. What my son received was a second master's, an MArch 2, which is more theory-based, and it's primarily for teaching or people who are on the forefront of, people on the theory of architecture. And, you know, most of the people in there were in their mid-30s. In fact, he had earlier interned at Raphael Vignoli's office, which is one of the famous international firms. And he's in the program. His boss at Raphael Vignoli is in the program with him. She's back in school for more theory-based. What does all this mean for you, the homeowner, the builder, or the renovator? Well, it just means that to become an architect, you really have to be very smart and hardworking. And that no one else you deal with in this work has the same education level and has really shown the same, well, documented the same dedication to the work. And, well, one of my sayings is that, you know, building a house, a custom home, or doing a substantial renovation without an architect is like doing surgery, complicated surgery, without a surgeon. Or, very closely, it's like investing $1 million without an investment advisor. These are people who have spent their lives learning how to do something well, and it's expertise that is well worth utilizing. Okay. Now, the real topic of this conversation, of today's conversation, is why an architect? You know, why do you need, I just answered that in part because of the expertise. In construction, there are four parts to any construction project. The first is how it functions. Second is how it looks. That's how it functions is the plan. How it looks is the aesthetics. The third is getting it built. And the fourth is cost. And all four of these are important. And if you fail any one of them, the project can fail. And more likely, a project doesn't fail. It's just the, you know, the subject of this show is winning the dream home race. And you can fail at any one of these and finish. But to win, you really need to succeed at all four of them. Okay. How can the architect make each one of these better? First, well, the first two, how it functions, the plan, and how it looks, the aesthetics, these are the things that you normally think of an architect, of the role of an architect in the job. Now, you've probably spent a year thinking about your new kitchen and what you want in it and how you want it to look. The architect has spent two decades thinking about how to make kitchens work better and how to make them feel better. They can bring all of that thought to you. It's similar to the investment advisor who can just smell a good investment. Well, the architect can just intuitively feel what's going to work and what isn't. And it's important, as I say that, it's important that you find an architect who specializes in the field of work that you want done. You know, there are architects. Years ago, I specialized in retail store design. I knew things about that and how to get you to go through the store and buy. Now I specialize in custom homes, and it's the same as my first show. How to get you to go through a house and come closer together. After we come back, we're about to go to a break. After we come back, I'll tell you a story about a house I found that I couldn't fix.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com. Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to cliffark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now back to winning the dream home race.
Hi, welcome back. As I told you, let me tell you a story. One of my hobbies is to go into every open house I see, and also, frankly, any house under construction. I like to go in and check out, see what they did right and see what they did wrong. For years, I've gone into houses that have not sold and tried to figure out what was wrong. Why didn't that house sell? Why was it not performing the way you would expect it to? Sometimes with clients and sometimes a lot just on my own. Over the years, there was this one house in a very nice gated community. And I went and looked at it with one couple. 2 years later, I went and looked at it with another. In each case, the issue was this is a very nice-looking house with all of the right things in it, and it wasn't selling. It should have sold readily in the $800,000 to $900,000 range, and it didn't. Then they dropped the price, and even in the $700,000 range, it wasn't selling. So went in there to look at what it was, to look at what was happening. In every house, there are 100 major decisions. There are at least 1,000 minor decisions that you make. And this house was really strange. They had made the wrong decision virtually every time there was a chance to make a decision. I'll start with some big things. Admittedly, the house was down the hill from the road. If you're looking at lots, if you can get the front door of the house above the road, it will sell for more. If it's downhill, that's a mistake right there. Sometimes you can't help it. In fact, the back of this house dropped off to a really great view. But beyond that, you walked in the front door, and here it opened up into one of these two-story great rooms, which personally I think are a mistake every time they're done. You can't really comfortably live in one of those rooms, but still, a lot of people have them. They sell a lot of houses. The problem was, they had the full wall of windows, but there were an even number of windows. There is something the eye likes, an odd number. And whenever possible in design, you want to set up an odd number rather than an even. You want 3 windows or 5 windows. You don't want 4. So that was one decision. Then you went to, you stepped into the room, and the fireplace was on the wrong wall. And it was counterintuitive, it was backwards to where you expected to come into the room and see the fireplace. Doorways were placed, were in the wrong place. And they messed up the furniture arrangement possible in the room. So this sort of bad decision-making went on through the whole house. There were things like the powder room opened directly off of the kitchen, which meant that anyone who went into the powder room, basically had to walk by whoever was in the kitchen to do so. I looked at the house, and I look at it as I often look at houses. Okay, if you can get this house $200,000 cheaper than it should sell for and put $100,000 into it to fix the issues, you come out ahead. I looked at this house and I couldn't fix it. It wasn't any big mistakes. It wasn't a room that was wrong. It was all through the house. There were little things that were wrong, and you couldn't go back and fix all of them. So, amazingly, the house that has everything you would expect just won't sell. And the thing about getting this back to an architect is that the architect spends all of his time and his effort thinking about these things and how to do them better. You know, I will sit, I'll go through 100 houses and look at how the master bedroom is arranged. I'll project myself in there, I'll project furniture in there. And how does it feel? You know, how could I do better? So that's what you get with an architect. And, well, that's what you get with an architect, is someone who really is spending their time thinking about these issues. As I said, aesthetics, how the plan works, and how it looks are the two things that you mostly look to an architect to do. And, you know, and where most of us think about architect. I'll take a break, but when I come back, we're going to talk now about getting it built and the cost, and that these are equal to, as important as getting the aesthetics right and getting a great place to live.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. If you are looking for both an inside and insightful look at what you're not seeing in media coverage of today's legal, business, and policy battles, tune into In the Court of Public Opinion with host Jim Haggerty. What happens in the public arena affects us all. Whether you're following the latest high-profile court case, corporate crisis, or are just interested in government and policy, be sure to tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. The witnesses are ready and the jury seated. So join us for our next session in the Court of Public Opinion.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
And we're back. Okay. Talked about aesthetics and function. That's how you think of an architect, what you think an architect does. Equal to that are getting the house built and what it costs. And in any negotiation, knowledge is power. And typically, the contractor has a lot more knowledge than the owner, and therefore has the power. The architect works as your agent for your benefit. And he's the only one that you deal with in this process that works for you. If you think about it, an architect is a licensed professional. Just as a lawyer is a licensed professional or a doctor. And their legal charge is to work for your benefit first, not their own. Everybody else you deal with in this process does not have that legal charge and, you know, doesn't necessarily have your best interests at heart or isn't required to put your best interests ahead of their own. Okay, if you think about any negotiation and getting a house built, getting a renovation project completed is a lot of negotiation. If you think about it and you use the analogy of a stool, the owner is one leg of the stool, the contractor is the other leg. Imagine that two-legged stool. It's extremely easy to tip over, extremely easy to become unbalanced and have things go wrong. Think of the architect as the third leg of the stool and the leg that brings stability to it. Does it in a number of ways. First is the architect creates the construction documents. These are, and this is how what you think of an architect doing. He creates the drawings and the specifications. Specifications are the written instructions. Typically, the drawings deal with the quantity of an item, like the number of square footage. The specifications deal with the quality of an item. The waterproofing will be tough and dry model H8. And with, you know, these characteristics to it. So he defines the project. Once you have the project defined, you can then put it out for competitive pricing. Meaning that if you don't have the project defined or it's only a little bit defined, it's really hard to get prices from more than one person. If you have it exactly defined, then it's really easy to get more than one price. The architect typically, compared to the other people you could involve, will define the project a lot better. And because they've got such legal liability and legal ramifications, they'll put a lot of effort into making that definition good. What's the benefit of competitive pricing? I think, you know, we all can imagine that. You know, I readily expect that competitive pricing will get me a price 5 to 10% lower than if I talked to the same contractor and just handed him the job. When I do my work and when I competitively price, what I do is I do a very good set of documents, give it to four people, four contractors, and they come back to me with their price. They come back to it broken down by subcategory. So I'll make up a chart and take a look at one item, say roofing, and I'll look across at the roofing prices from each one of those subcontractors. And in one case, it's $15,000. The next one's $14,000. The next one's, you know, $16,000. And then this other guy is at $24,000. Well, clearly there's a question. How'd that guy come up with $24,000 while the other guys were all around $15,000? If you do that with each category of work, then between them, they will give you what is the normal, reasonable price for that portion of the job. And then you can call up the contractors and say, you know, Joe, I was looking at your bid, and here are the things you're low on, and here are the things you're high on. Can you take a look at each one of those items? And either it's legitimate, your roofer is just more expensive, or yeah, you've got a really great plumber who, you know, charges you a low price, or it's illegitimate. You assume we were going to use super premium shingles on the roof, and we're not. We're using standard shingles. The other thing, so competitive pricing, and the other thing that the architect can do at this point in the work is he can steer you towards contractors that have a good record of performance. You know, if you've been in an area for a decade or more and working in the field, you know who performs well and you know who doesn't. Really rock bottom price from a guy with a reputation for bad performance is not a good idea. And the architect can steer you away from that. Then, you know, keep along the same lines, as with anything, the best price you can get on an item is the price you get up front when you're negotiating a contract. Anything that happens after that, you're going to pay more. So the architect defining the project well means that it puts the owner in the best position to negotiate the best price for each piece of work. And hopefully, if you've really done the job well, there'll be very little added cost. And which, by the way, even that, I told you that, you know, if that knowledge is power, if you're negotiating a change order, you're negotiating extra work after the contract, well, you as the owner have very little way of figuring out whether the price the contractor is giving you for it is good or bad. And typically, you'll pay a lot more for the same item, adding it later to the contract. And so you pay less on the front end for any item than you would adding it later. What does all this mean? It means that the architect performing their third set of duties, which is acting as your knowledgeable agent in, you know, coming to contract on the job, pricing and coming to contract on the job, easily can save you 5, 10, as much as 20% on the job, which is a lot more than what you're paying them. And all the way through, I've had three decades to work on this, and I care a lot about money. And my jobs, when we start the design, during the first phase of design, I give you my best estimate of what that job is going to cost. When we put it out for pricing, based upon my experience, those prices are going to come back just about where I said they would. I had a $250,000 renovation job recently where I said up front, it's going to be $250,000. And we signed the contract, the construction contract, at right about $250,000. The other thing is, if the architect is doing his job well, if he's included all of the pieces in it up front and negotiated them under the best circumstance, which is before you sign the contract, there aren't many change orders. You know, one of the horror stories, especially in renovation work, is that, yeah, we set out to spend $100,000 And instead, we spend $200,000. Well, that doesn't have to happen. That same job was just completed, and the owners, even with adding some things which they wanted to upgrade, they came in between 5 and 10% more than we originally had set the budget back at the start of design. And that's the sort of thing an architect can do for you, separate from anybody else, because they're the only ones who are acting as your agent to get you the best cost on the job. And when I come back, I'll talk about the other part of this, which is what happens after you sign the contract and you start to work, and all of the problems and issues that can occur at that point. Thank you.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay, I told you that... Hi, welcome back. I told you that two parts of the architect's job is the design, the aesthetics, and what it, and how it functions. These are really the candy. This is why architects get into the profession. This is the work they enjoy. The other two parts, dealing with the contractor and the owners and cost, are probably as valuable, if not more valuable, to the owner. And definitely, if you're talking money and aggravation, this is where you find the big value of the architect. During construction, you've signed the contract, you've settled, theoretically, you've settled the money issues, which should be settled up front as much as possible. Now you start construction. At this point, the architect puts on two hats. He is still the agent of the owner, acting on the owner's behalf and as the advisor to the owner. Now he puts on a second hat, though. Second hat is he is the impartial arbitrator of the contract. That means that you've signed a legal document, a contract. It's got plans and specs to say, you know, what is expected of the contractor, and legal wordage that says what's expected of the owner. The architect is the person who impartially oversees that contract and makes sure both sides live up to their obligations. And in a way, it's really neat. You know, the architect says to the owner, no, the contract does not include gold-plated faucets. And, or no, the contract does not include taking care of your kids while you decide to run an errand. And these have happened. At the same time, the architect says to the contractor, yes, the contract calls for shingles on the roof. You know, the old thing of, oh yeah, you bought the car, but we didn't say there were tires. Well, the contract calls for shingles. And the contract calls for 40-year shingles, not the 25-year ones that showed up at the job. So that role as the impartial arbitrator of the contract is extremely valuable to keep the peace. You know, any disagreement between the owner and the contractor, if there isn't a third party overseeing it and arbitrating it, can blow up quickly into real problems. And here's the other thing, is that any disagreement that blows up, knowledge is power. Almost always, the contractor has a lot more knowledge than the owner. He holds the power. On the flip side, money is power. The owner holds the money. So there are these two sides, and you know, disaster is when they can't come together. And very seldom when there is an architect actively involved in the during the construction phase, very seldom do these problems blow up. A lot of things can be mitigated or can be resolved right away. Some things there isn't a great answer, but the architect can get the two parties to come together and accept a solution. You know, you hear all the time, and many of you have probably experienced a construction project that just falls apart and ends up in court for 3 years. That almost never happens when there's an architect in his role overseeing the construction. The other thing the architect does, and big part, is oversight. He actually shows up, you know, a knowledgeable person shows up at the job site and just visually looks to see whether the contractor is doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's not going to go in there and tear off gypsum board to see that he put the insulation in right. But whenever he does show up at the job, he's looking to see whether things are done right and also whether they're done according to the contract. So quite often, if there's not somebody in that role, you know, the contractor forgot to put something in. Once he covers it over, who's going to know until 10 years later when the floor starts rotting? Or, you know, 10 years later where you get this stake in the house because they didn't bother putting in vents on the plumbing system. So those are the roles of the architect during the construction. And he does two other things. One is what usually holds up jobs, causes problems on the owner's side, is an inability to make decisions. And the contractor is slowed or stopped because the owner can't decide what color to paint the walls. The architect helps facilitate those decisions and helps just simply to push them along. On the other hand, a lot of times the disagreement is the contractor is not moving fast enough. The owner has no way of really knowing what is fast enough. The architect does. And the architect can get in the contractor's face and tell him that he's got to start moving. I alluded before, changes made during construction. The architect, because he has knowledge, can help hold down the cost of those changes. It is amazing how quickly you can spend $5,000 during construction. I had a house where they bought nightstands for their master bedroom, and they wanted these extra big nightstands. It meant moving a window 12 inches. Because the window was already in, the stucco was already on the outside, it cost $1,200 to move that window 12 inches. It could have cost a lot more. The owner has no way of knowing what the cost of doing that work is. Pretty much at the mercy of the contractor if there isn't an architect involved. Let's see. As I say, the biggest thing is almost never when an architect's involved does a disagreement turn into a conflict, turn into a battle. And it is, frankly, some of the least desirable work an architect does. As I said, the fun is in designing. But if you've ever been in one of these lawsuits, they're awful. And like I say, I've almost never seen it when an architect has been involved. Okay, a quick wrap-up. Said, okay, all of this talk. However, what does an architect cost? Because we keep hearing that they're expensive and they're a pricey ad. First of all, they're not pricey, because an architect doing his job will mean you get the same house for less money than if you weren't involved. And because the aesthetics are better, you get a house that should sell faster and probably for better money. So the architect is a win-win cost-wise. But realistically, the architect sells his time. All he does is he sells time. By the hour, typically it's between $75 and $200 an hour. And obviously, the older, more experienced the architect is, you know, the more they charge for their time. But the old guys are faster. I can do something in an hour that when I was starting out took me 2 or 3 hours to do. So much of it, I don't have to think. I can just do. So it's between $75 and $200 an hour. And by comparison, a doctor, you know, sells his time in 6-minute increments for $1,000 an hour. A lawyer sells his time in 15-minute increments for $350 an hour. The architect sells his time in 10-hour increments or 100-hour increments. So, you know, that's part of the reason why we actually charge so little, is because we tend to sell in big chunks. Now, how do we compare to the hourly cost of other players? Understand, every player involved is selling their time. And for the most part, they're trying to make as much for their time as the architect. A residential designer, if you use them, will typically cost between $50 and $75 an hour. They're cheaper, but the difference is between someone who went through college and passed an extremely hard exam versus someone who probably started out as a draftsman and knows how to do that part of it, but very little else. Or they started out as a contractor and decided they liked drawing them better than they did building them. But in either case, the knowledge is limited, and generally, they don't perform as fast, so you end up paying the same amount to get the same product. And as I've said above, some of the most valuable services, the construction oversight and cost containment, are things that the residential designer typically doesn't even touch. In fact, quite often, one of the biggest mistakes I see is people going to the contractor first. And the contractor says, oh, I'll supply the drawings, you know, I'll do that. You don't have to involve an architect. Talked about this thing about power. Knowledge is power. That places all the power in the hands of the contractor. And all he's going to do is he's going to turn around, usually to the residential designer that he controls, and have him do drawings. Then, as I said, service for service, architects probably will cost you the same thing as having someone else do the same service. Interior designers and kitchen designers both charge the same $75 to $200 an hour. And neither one has the same education. And especially, they don't have the same exam and licensing. The other kicker is that everybody involved with your construction, the architect is the only one who is licensed. Everybody else, in addition to their hourly payment, can and usually does make money on commission. They get a percent on things they recommend or things they sell. If I tell you, recommend that you use Pella Windows, it's because I think they're the best product. If an interior designer tells you to use Pella Windows, it could be because the Pella window guy is giving her a sales commission on it. We can't do that. Anyway, back to what does an architect cost? Very quickly before I leave. Typically, it's between 3% and 9% of the cost of the work. And almost always, it's less than 6%. That means almost always it is less than what a realtor will charge. And we only charge that on the cost of the construction, as opposed to the realtor 6% on both the construction and the lot. So, of course, if you get partial service, it costs less. But if you get full service, the money we can save you is far more than what you will ever pay us on the job. And hopefully, next week, I'll talk about how to pick a good architect and identify the person who really will do the best job for you. And because, like any profession, they're good ones, they're bad ones, and there's a lot of mediocre. So how do you tell which is which? And hope to see you again next week. Thanks.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.